Welcome back. Welcome back to the podcast. This is Charles. You're listening to the Bringing It All Back Home podcast. Coming at you on another beautiful Wednesday morning. And today's episode is going to be all about going full circle, completing a full rotation. In my case, a rotation of my gear, my analog gear, how that went. Started this experiment back in August. Just completed it today, went completely around. And it might also sidetrack or dovetail into my my growing appreciation of shooting 120, getting really back into 120. So yeah, have a cup of tea or sip some coffee. I've got a little refreshing, sparkling mineral water right now. Yeah, can't wait to dive into today's episode about completing the circle. So what began as kind of a experiment or just a way to see, you know, out of the cameras I have currently, how often I'm using them and getting back into some kind of routine combined with a goal of finishing up all my film, or at least finishing up all my black and white and all my more extraneous color film, I decided to rely on a spreadsheet to essentially go all the way around. So the facts are this: basically back in August, I'm looking at August 8th, I had just received a new film camera, a new body. I was experimenting with trying to find a cheaper solution to the Summicron M, which can go anywhere from $1,500 to $2,000 or $3,000, depending on where you go with that. And I figured, hey, let me try the R series. So that's really how last season ended, with me experimenting with the R series. So my very last episode of last season and how this experiment kind of began all kind of came together. In other words, I did a test roll with my new Leica R3. Which I got a pretty good deal on. I think I got the R3 for like $149, and it's clean and it's working. Pretty good there. Anyhow, so that's how it all starts. It's August. It's the first week. I've shot my first test roll with my R3, and I'm looking right now at some of my 4-star photos from that test roll. And yeah, quite nice. Quite nice little test roll. They're looking awfully, you know, encouraging for a roll of what was this, T-Max, of course. T-Max 100 in good old Rodinal stand. So now it's August, and I know I have a lot of film that I've seen to have accumulated, and part of me is looking at this spreadsheet going, maybe this would be a good idea. Maybe I could just do a full rotation. So no great skill attached to it. I pretty much just lined up my my little chart here, my little spreadsheet, and sorted it by, you know, descending or ascending, whatever worked, and discovered, okay, so I need to start working on, you know, another couple of roles. So basically, in this podcast, I'd like to maybe share what I learned. Yeah, so what did I learn, or was there any learning moment to doing this experiment, this 2-month experiment? Okay, I think the first takeaway is actually it was kind of fun. It was kind of fun. It, you know, it presented a kind of incentive, you know, that had a little bit extra drive to it. You know, it wasn't, and I didn't, what's also was nice, I didn't have to keep any of this stuff in the back of my head. You know, I didn't have to be like, what was the last camera I used? No, I just made it an extra little bit of detail, you know. So, you know, just like any time you pick up one of your cameras, you go out to shoot, it's all about the fun of shooting with your vintage cameras, say. It's all about, of course, looking back on the photos and maybe sharing them or learning from the actual photography part of it. But, yeah, I normally would never keep a kind of ongoing journal of when I took these pictures in a spreadsheet. I never saw the point of that whatsoever. But using this method just now to create a full circle, to create an actual rotation, to just, you know, pick up where, like, this wasn't thought out by any kind of theme. In other words, I didn't do, like, I'm going to do just my medium format, so then I'm going to do just my range finders, and I'm going to do just my Nikons or whatever. There was absolutely no theme in any way. I just kind of grabbed the next one I thought would be good to grab. And then as soon as the roll was done, marked it as the date I last used it, and then went and looked for some more. Now what also, you know, what also kind of influenced, though, what I shot with was what kinds of film I had on hand. So when I began this experiment, you know, I had on hand at least five rolls of Portra 160. So I had some Kodak 400 and 120, which I may not use for this experiment because it's so freaking expensive right now. That's the one that just really hasn't budged too much. I figure, well, maybe that's the one I may just leave in the refrigerator in case I actually do have a model I want to work with, or friends who want to just take an actual, you know, portrait shoot in film. So that influenced it. I had some color film, and I definitely had some black and white to use up. I still do, especially black and white. 120 film that just doesn't seem to be moving, you know. So I'm going through the last of my Acros 100, which I just completed today. So that I managed to finish off. And I really want to go through the last of my HP5. I've already finished up my FP4 and 120. So again, the goal was to kind of go through the film, go through the cameras, complete a rotation, and hopefully this will kind of clear my head a little bit at the end and find out where's the fun. You know, which of these cameras still has that fun factor, which in the end is still the most important for me. If it doesn't have the fun factor at all, then it hopefully will have that other compensating factor, which is just pure functionality and results. So I think that's where I want to focus on for today. I don't want to go deep into, like, let me tell you about each shoot. You know, that isn't the point of this. It was more like, hey, I've done a full circle on my gear. I've rotated them around. And what's some takeaways? So, number one, this experiment, at least 2 months in, completing my first round, my first lap, I have an enormous craving for more and more 120. So as I began the podcast, I mentioned that these two things are kind of really going to dovetail. It brought that out. So that's my first takeaway. I wanted to use up the 120 film I had, like the FP4, and especially this HP5, which I just finished developing two rolls of before I began the podcast. I wanted to kind of complete that stuff and see what's the next film I really want to order again, and or at all. You know, like, how much did I really want to use medium format? This really, so far, the number one takeaway, this really amped up my appreciation for 120 again, and I guess you could say almost how much I've kind of missed it in a way. Go into the reasons for that maybe late in another episode, but first takeaway, loving the 120, want more, you know. And then looking at the rotation again, I obviously have the cameras that, I have at least two that absolutely fall into the really not that much fun to work with or to shoot with or to look at, but compensate for that and just being purely functional. So call it out right now. Yeah, like the Nikon F100. But yeah, not a super inspiring one. I'm imagining that's still going to be one that won't be rotated normally on its own if I don't continue doing this one more time. Another one would be the N75, which I did an episode about last spring. That's the one where I wanted to pair it with the all-time most underrated Zoom, the 28-80G. So yeah, one of those classic just before film went out of fashion, plastic wonders, the N75. Very, very, very functional camera. The only thing, it can't set the ISO on it. You can't create a custom ISO, so if you want to shoot at a different box speed, you just have to play around with the exposure compensation. No big deal there. But yeah, not an inspiring camera to look at, to hold. Would definitely not be rotated, you know, very, very quickly. You know, this was a camera that cost $28. But again, paired with that amazing zoom. But crank up the positive, though. That zoom and that N75, wearing it around your shoulder, wearing it around your neck, it weighs nothing. It's an incredibly light gear. And I did have this one shoot 2 weeks ago. I wore the, it's like I'm talking about clothes, but I basically was carrying the N75 on a shoulder strap. And I had one of my all-time favorites around my neck, which I'll get to in a minute, another camera. And a third around my right shoulder. I was doing the Dennis Hopper Apocalypse Now kind of thing. But yeah, so that's a super positive one. But again, it won't be rotated that often because it's not a fun camera to hold or look at. And the shooting experience is just completely unmemorable. So yeah, bottom of the chart, but still extremely functional, would be the Nikon N75 and the Nikon F100. All I would say on the bottom of the list in terms of just sheer inspiration or fun. But then it's going to crank up to the good stuff. So, yeah, without a doubt, I have a love affair for all my rangefinders. You know, the rangefinder, it makes sense that rangefinders are still so freaking popular. My $40 Yashica GSN gets no love online. It's often sort of used as a punching bag because everyone raves about the Canon alternative. The poor man's and they rave about the Canon QL. I'm a big fan of the Yashica because it looks so freaking cool. I think this is one of the coolest looking cameras ever. And I love the results. I think there's something about that 45mm 1.7 combined with the right film. I've just had some astonishingly wonderful results with that little camera. The one thing I noticed, though, that same day that I was going around and trying out, you know, my Dennis Hopper thing with one camera around my neck and one camera around my right shoulder, one camera around my left shoulder, is that the viewfinder on at least my version of the Yashica GSN is nothing to write home about. Because I was, you know, doing this thing where, like, I'm lining up the shot with my rangefinder. I'm down in Wildwood, and I'm like, this is going to be cool. And then I bring over an SLR. Like, in this case, it was a Contax RTS full frame that I just recently got on my last chance idea that maybe I'll have a context that will actually work. And when I was going back and forth between that little rangefinder from the old Yashica to the full frame SLR rangefinder of the RTS Contax, which ironically is another Yashica. You know, Yashica made those Contaxes. It was blowing my mind how just incredibly better the scene in front of me looked looking through the Contax RTS. So yeah, I was never really aware of how kind of dismal the viewfinder is on my little Yashica GSN. But that's probably because I love it so much. I'm just like, yeah, whatever, you know. So it's not the greatest viewfinder. It's not going to rock your world. And again, that could just be the copy I have. Maybe my copy just, that might be one of the, maybe that's, you know, maybe I could, if I found another one. I don't remember the one that Jerry was using, if that one was just so much clearer. It may have been, you know. So yeah, rangefinders came through with shining colors. I did a shoot with two Leica rangefinders. Be honest, I don't really remember them very well. You know, they didn't really stick out of my head that much during this experiment. So yeah, then what was the big takeaway? You know, what I found when I wanted to, you know, complete this full circle was that I was going to need to get through this medium format stuff. So at the moment, I basically have the Mamiya RZ, you know, the RZ67. I have two different lenses, the normal lens, the 90, and I have the 140, the Annie Leibovitz lens, you know, the equivalent of a 70 on there. And really, the 90s are an equivalent of something closer to 50. I think it's like a 48 equivalent or something like that. But they're, you know, they're the big black box. You know, they're the relatively bulky, 10 frames only Mamiya RZ67 and all that entails. No meter, slower film process, of course, because you're sort of savoring those 10 shots. You're not going to be firing away. So I figured, okay, I will then start using the medium format camera alternative that I do have, which is the Pentax 645. And yeah, this is the camera, I think the one camera in my system that I really have a love-hate relationship with. Okay, maybe not hate, but a love slash indifference, you know? It's just odd. You know, like it's like a favorite restaurant that you're just going to keep walking by and never going back to and ignoring and not calling up for takeout or what have you. And yet when you think back, you're like, yeah, but the food was actually quite good there. I can't quite figure it out. I mean, I can break it down. But that was the one that's 15 shots a roll. It's an incredibly affordable camera. The metering is astonishing. The metering on this camera has never failed me. Even in the most difficult backlit situations, the metering is terrific. It is a great, great entry-level camera. You can find these guys with the lens at incredibly good prices. I ended up buying mine separately, which I don't regret because the body's in such good condition. I've never had a single problem with it. And I did pay a little bit extra for the normal lens because I think at the time I just wasn't sure which lens to pair it with. Because again, going back to what I've repeated a couple of times, is that I no longer have any of the 6-4-5 lenses. I'm using the 6-7 lens on it, which again throws the balance more than a little out of whack. But in the right conditions with the right film, that 105, you know, still kicks ass on the 6-4-5 body, you know. So the magic that is the Pentax 6x7 Takumar 105 can still retain some of its glory in the right conditions on the cheapest 6-4-5. But what don't you have? So you do have the great metering, and you do have that flexibility where you're still keeping that same lens, but you don't have autofocus, which you'd think, well, we just know autofocus on the 6x7. Yeah, but it does, you know, I'm asking for the impossible from it. I think it's more like I've been, and I mentioned on the last episode, I've been following people who are using the autofocus version with just the more generic 75, and I kind of get where that could be absolutely great, because typically if you're shooting medium format, unless you're shooting professionally, you know, for weddings and stuff, in other words, if you have not spent $2,000 or more, your medium format cameras are going to most likely not have a meter and most likely all be manual focus. So they're, you know, a slowed down experience, whether you're using a TLR like a Rolly or a Mamiya C33, or of course, if you're a Hasselblad fanatic, you're taking your time, you're manually focusing, you're manually metering. And it's all good. It's all part of the love. It's all part of the fun. But that's where the 645 kind of like is such a quirky camera, because it's taking away some of the fun. You don't have a manual advance. It advances the film for you. You don't have the kind of sometimes fun of feeling that you're in control of the metering. You know, it's going to meter for you. But you also don't have a camera that's just a joy to hold in your hand or a joy to look at. It's, you know, it's just a functional. It's going back to that. I'm just a functional camera. I did shoot a couple of rolls with that guy to help plow through, you know, the stuff. And I did some stuff with Rodinal FP4, and I love the shots. Absolutely love the shots. So these were sort of close up shots local here These were stuff done on a really nice morning with Lucy, and I did a couple more, kind of repeating that, but at a golden hour. Love it. Absolutely love it. Like it's just so odd. For a system that I just don't want to necessarily pick up for the last 2 months, what kicked ass, what actually popped, really popped for me was working in 120 with just pretty much any of my medium format cameras, including the one I never really liked to use, which is the 645 hybrid, you know? So, yeah, I can hear myself trying to work it out as I'm explaining it to you guys, and it's still a little bit of a conundrum. But, yeah, I'd be kind of curious if you do. Maybe I should just leave a poll at the end. You know, what is your medium format workflow, if you have one, you know, and which is the most fun. So yeah, that's pretty much where I'm going to go with this episode. Where am I going to end up, of course, is the RZ67. So when I look back again at the photos that I completed this last month, I did at least two rolls with the RZ67. That is still my favorite experience, without a doubt, because it is the results themselves I absolutely love. I mean, absolutely love. Like, if I'm just going through my Lightroom folders here, my Lightroom album, my Lightroom catalog, etc., and I'm just looking at these 4 or 5 star shots, I don't have to know at all what kind of camera it is. I'm just getting visually something that really tickles my analog heart, you know? Like, I'm getting something in these shots, that 6x7 3D thing. I'm especially fond of this 140 Annie Leibovitz lens, which is also the biggest underrated lens of the entire lineup with the RZ. Never hear anybody raving about it, which is hilarious. I'm still shocked that this has never caught fire. So results are there. You know, I mean, really, to me, it's all about, you know, do the results compensate for something you don't like about the camera, which makes you still want to, of course, use it. But with the RZ, no, the results are at the very, very top of any camera I own. So the results are ridiculously high. Like, results are a 10. And then there's the joy of actually using it. And this is where every time I pick up this camera, whether I'm using the 140 lens, the 90 lens, I'm so happy I re-embraced this system, and I just have no longing to go back to the Pentax. There's something about that particular waist level finder is fantastic, and I love the rotating back. Like, I love the idea that I could get close to the scene, make sure I'm in focus, and then either take two versions, you know, one horizontal and one vertical, or just go, nope, I bet you this is going to work better vertical. And I have been finding I'm taking more and more vertical shots, probably at least half or more. And I love just the sound of the shutter. I love the advance. I love the fact that I've had really good experiences with mine, you know. I know all the pratfalls. There's been at least one or two episodes that, you know, this is an electronic wonder that could one day just crap out on me. But it's a fun camera to use. It's a fun camera to get your shot in focus, just to line it up and get it in focus. And then you're just going to, you know, it's terrific. So the performance and the use of that camera is a 10. And lastly, yeah, I think it's fun to look at. I think it's a great thing to look at. Like, I don't want this thing hanging out in the bag. I don't want this camera to be hidden. I want it out in the room as a reminder that there are fun and beautiful things in this world to help lift your day. You know, it's a little joy machine. You know, so yeah. Just once again, wanted to use up all my 120, did a rotation, went full circle with all of my gear from the cheapest to the most overpriced. And without a doubt, I'm completely sold. And I'm so happy for everybody that the prices are coming down. The prices for the RZ67 explosion in popularity is over, thank God. And the prices, they're never going to go back down to, 2014 era cheapness, but they're no longer at the pandemic levels of 2019 or 20 where people were trying to get away with charging you, $1,000 for the body or something insane. So yeah, I just had the regular RZ67. I don't have the Pro 2. I am not tempted to go to the RBs because if you really, really listen to the RB folks, there's room for, weirdness happening there too. And I'd rather take my chance with the RZ67. And if and when it goes on me, I could at least say, yeah, I had a great time using it. And hopefully I'll find another one that works. So anyway, that's my wrap up. This is Charles. Looking forward to coming back next week with another new episode. And hopefully this might inspire you to go through your gear and do a loop. Force yourself to make a full circle. And for me, it's about, about 14 film cameras. Anyhow, talk to you guys later.